Infield Dailies today. We are live on Facebook and YouTube. You can join us there. You can also leave us your thoughts and comment on WhatsApp 08095975805. Let's start today with the Daily Trust, which has a report titled EFCC Raids Kano Forex Market, Arrest BDC Operators. This has generated a conversation.
This gives me an opportunity to comment on the change in the design of the Naira that was initiated by the central bank. Actually, I thought that was the first thing Buhari would have done, you know, when he came in. So better late than never. The part I don't understand is where, for whatever reason, even if legally the CBN can do it and so on and so forth, you don't carry the finance minister along. I don't know where that is coming from. Is it that she's not trusted? So you got the president's permission. How did the president give permission without consulting his finance ministry? I mean, that's the part that I didn't understand, but since I was on vacation, I just let it slide. But I think it's important that things should be done. You know, you should carry some people along. If you don't trust them, fire them. It should have been discussed completely. In principle, yes. I hope that the effects that we are getting now, the initial effects we are getting, you know, pressure on Forex and so on and so forth, I hope it will blow over. And the EFCC is raiding Forex markets. And where was the EFCC, for example, when people were carrying bullion vans into their houses? What do you think was inside the bullion vans? Do you think they were water tankers? We've tolerated this for so long. Everybody knows the kind of cash movements that you have. And we sat back for 20 years, we didn't do anything. So we've woken up finally, you know, at this initial hour. But I can assure you, given the level of corruption that we have in Nigeria, most of these people will beat us at that game.
That's right.
They are very desperate. Our friends who are in the Forex business, they are very desperate. They ready to buy any foreign currency. And look, at the last convention that we had, it wasn't Naira that was distributed. It was dollars. And the truth is that we know where some of these monies are. We know their origins and so on and so forth. But we fail to do the right thing. Any country, what you do is crimes that are so obvious, you use them as an example. You know, if somebody had, you know, it was so bold enough in public view to bring a whole bullion van to his house and he didn't even as much as say anything, then the doors are open. But okay, so like I said, better late than never. The EFCC is raiding Forex markets and so on and so forth. Is beyond all that. Some of these transactions take place 2-3 a.m. in the night. They are very good launderers that we have, and washermen who can wash money. You know, it's a big racket all over the world. They do it at a premium. Now look at, there was a video that went viral yesterday from a bank. From a bank's ATM, a woman's husband withdrew money that was printed in 2003.
A new note.
Mm-hmm. From a bank's ATM. So what it means is that these monies are finding their way back into the system.
Right.
And they are regarded as legal tender. Maybe, for example, could we have, I'm just saying maybe, we need to find out from lawyers. If you could say that from so-so-so-so and so-so-so-and-so, you need to explain. If you suddenly turn up at the bank with money printed in 2003, I mean, come on, give me a break. Where has that money been? New notes, serial notes. You go to either Facebook or whatever, serially numbered new notes.
When I discussed this matter earlier in the week and on Friday, you know, what happened in 1984 is what I gave reference to. It was same Buhari. But what they did, which is not the same now, although it was a military government then, was that the timeline to submit all your monies was 2 weeks.
2 weeks!
And there was a limit to how much you could even bring in. It was $7,000. You couldn't bring more than $7,000 to the bank. So, because why would you have more than that? So, it made it really tight. But now, there's a lot of time for people to... And I think the banks might also be culpable in all of this game.
No, it's just this. You see, this country is a conspiracy. I always and I repeat again of politicians, civil servants, policymakers. This is done just to look good. I'm telling you, it's done just to look good. It's not how you did this. First of all, you gave notice of when, for how long it's going to be legal tender. You gave enough time for all these things to happen, like you read said. Thank you for reminding me. I remember then that it was 2 weeks and a lot of people were caught napping. But there again, you see, Maybe if they had consulted other people, other interest groups, I mean, even within government, the policy would have been tidied up properly. But I don't have any confidence at all in our current CBN. It's under his watch. Look at what has happened. And then his attempt to go into politics and all these things, it makes one challenge his level of competence for the job. But let's see how far this goes. There's enough time for washermen to make a quick buck.
I like though that the EFCC, they are sharp on their toes, you know, sniffing.
What are they sniffing? The EFCC were said to have been at the party conventions when dollars were making the rounds. Who did they arrest? Well, sniffing what? What are they sniffing? If you read the story, half of the people that they arrested and took their phones were legal people, bankers looking for deposits. So what are you sniffing? What are you sniffing about? Some people complain that it was a way to deal with Northerners, you know, and so on and so forth. Thank God, the head of the EFCC is a Northerner. So
yeah.
Agenda close with that. It's good to be back. You know, Nigeria can be exciting sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. So completely
embarrassing. I think it's just a show put up. The people who will do us in this are the CBN people themselves. Yes, the CBN and the bankers are the ones who will do us in this exercise.
Especially the banks. Because that's where the money will have
look,
to go
look,
to.
Look, in what country do you think a man would take a bullion van into his house on a Saturday?
A day to election,
and his response is it your money? Once you have allowed things like that happen, and guess what? Maybe that's what we will continue with after 2023. Only God knows. That complete disregard, you know. But let's don't fire me up here.
I'm taking it easy. Someone says you're looking as fresh as a new dollar note. Okay.
I come and spend me now.
Let's go to The Guardian. We're going to merge this with the one from The Vanguard. It's the same story. Afeni Ferry, I remain leader, says Adebanjo as Fashionrunti. I think that name is Fashionrunti. That's what I heard in one of the audios. I used to say Fashionrunti. Fashionrunti returns. Fashionrunti says Afeni Ferry meetings will now hold in Akure. Adebanjo says old age caused Fashionrunti to get dragged into this mess. Yoruba leader's mom on leadership tussle. Adewale says Fashionrunti's endorsement conforms with creation and the ethics of
I cancel this one.
Because they're about the same.
Thank you very much. This is highly embarrassing. And I'll tell you why. The Afeniferi is a group of Yoruba people who have, you know, they have their interests and so on and so forth. And yes, they did so well. They're a very powerful force in during the military rule, helped, you know, to get rid of the military and so on and so forth. But since after the elections that they produced the governors and whatever, they started losing relevance bit by bit. And I have it on good authority that one of the people that decimated the Afeniferi at that time is the person who is now seeking their support. How does that sound? It's the same person. And that is because the interests of a lot of people in these various groups, their interests are personal. And they are, to put it in street language, they are monetized. Okay, so because how do you, for example, in a group of educated people, respectable people, you have a leader and then you have an acting leader. I don't know. Is it a vice leader? Is it an assistant leader? I say no. You have a leader and an acting leader. Some people said that Fashionrunti had already resigned his leadership and so on and so forth. I don't know much about the politics. I really don't care. The reason why I don't care is that a lot of these groups are there for their personal interests, to be honest with you, and relevant. At a time when you should find them, when you should find them, you know, standing firm. Look at some of the leaders said, look at the story. It says that Yoruba leader's mom on leadership tussle. How can you, as a matured person, you should be able to give your opinion about things? Part of the problem we have with our people, and I'm talking of Yoruba people, of which I'm one of them, is this conspiracy of silence when you should stand up to be counted. Now, Bola Tinubu's ambition has split the association. People who should come out and speak and make definite statements are keeping mum. Either they've been compromised, or usually that jelly attitude, you know, that has been the major problem that we have. Also, I ask myself, politicians never cease to amaze me. I don't know why Bola Tinubu believes that he needs Afenifere's endorsement to become president. I think, to be honest with you, his own influence is even larger, 50 times larger than that of the Afenifere itself. You know, but politicians are very easy to be frightened. You know, somebody says something wrong there and they jump at it and want to quell it. Bola Tinubu will win the election. He might win the election with or without Afenifere's support. That's the honest to God truth. I don't think he's going to be winning the election. I don't think he's going to be gathering votes because Afenifere endorses him in the Southwest. But what they will tell you is that in politics, you don't leave any stone undone. But the leaders should quickly move in. This is embarrassing. Two elderly people. Now the meeting is going to be held in Akure. No, he's not the leader. He's the acting leader. In any organization, I've not heard of leader and acting leader. It must be one. There are no two captains.
But I mean, it's clear that Adebanjo is the leader because Pafashionrati handed over to him.
Yeah, but he said he didn't.
Oh, but he did.
But they were calling Adebanjo acting leader.
Which one is acting leader? Acting leader until when? Until there's an election or something?
See, my people. Okay, we are from the same place. My people are very funny. They because the truth is what I suspect is that Pafashionrati, of course, because of his age, can no longer be active. Mm-hmm. He can't hold meetings, conduct finance meetings, and so on and so forth, which is probably what happens. So they say, okay, Adebanjo, you still have a lot of energy, you go and do it. But
Adebanjo is 93.
But he's active now. He's very active. I'm sure he still drives.
Wow.
Yeah, he's very active, very strong. But look at what is coming, and I feel ashamed, you know, as a Yoruba person. It says Adebanjo in an interview said that it was unfortunate that Fashionrati's age is allowing some younger elements to influence him with money.
Yeah, he alleged that.
With money and allowed himself into the mess. I said, where is that done that somebody would resign for almost 2 years now and suddenly come back to say that he wants to assume leadership? And he says, maybe old age. He told them, Papa himself is 93.
Two years difference.
It is sad. It is sad that it has come to that. But there was something else that, there was somebody, who was it now? There was somebody who said that, there was one person, I can't find it again, who was also interviewed and said that, oh, I cannot comment on these things. People need to stand up and tell these elderly people the truth. I think Tinubu should just move on with his campaign. By the way, it seems to be ahead of the pack as far as visibility is concerned.
Right, we must,
and it seems that he understands politics to the point that he is the one setting the agenda. Okay, so he didn't go to the Ministry of to the Chamber of Commerce function, whatever. But he arranged his own.
He set up his own.
He set up his own with these loyalists and so on and so forth. And you know, I usually call this gentleman the octopus. So his people were there, a lot of publicity and so on and so forth. But guess what? I still think that our people, you know, this time, they don't shine their eye. It will be up to them to decide in which direction we'll go in 2023.
All right, let's talk about the strike in Lagos. Extortion drama as Lagos bus drivers suspend strike. But we also had a report that they did not suspend the strike. So I don't know which one we're going with. Let me check with Emmanuel on this one.
On the phone?
No, I'm going to ask
you. Later this morning.
Okay,
but it says that the leadership of the Joint Drivers Welfare Association suspended the 7-day strike. Okay, and is pending further resolutions of the matter, as some members of the group said they won't resume until their grievances are resolved. So the Lagos State Government has stepped in, but I find the whole thing completely embarrassing and should never have happened in the first place. How can you step in into an issue of Agbero system? In what megacity does that happen? It shouldn't even happen at all. And even in setting up your parks and management and whatever it is that is going on, of which we don't even know, the area of operations are not known to a lot of us that I don't understand. I always tease Sheriff about it. You can't run a country like this. You can't. So it's not about talking about the amount. Oh, you know, we cannot be doing 10,000 a day. We can only be doing this and that. You can't continue. One day somebody goes out, Chairman, you continue to collect money. This kind of extortion. It cannot continue. And the government has to turn Lagos into a civilized place. You keep saying you have the aspiration for it to be a mega city. This one is not a mega city. It's not. The government needs to clamp down on this system. If they are going to have their own parks and whatever, let people pay an annual fee, have a sticker on their car, and stop all this nonsense. You know, all this daily money, cash, and so on and so forth. I don't understand it. It will always be exploited.
Yeah, but the government moved in January this year when we intensified debate on this conversation by introducing a daily levy of 800 naira that is ticketed. If you pay that, you're not supposed to pay any other thing for the day.
That in itself is a prescription for confusion. How can you have a daily levy? At one point, who does that? What you should do is you should have a kind of license and a sticker to go with it. A daily levy is a prescription for and then government always says that they don't want revenue in cash. What happens to that daily levy that is collected in cash? How is it accounted for? How do you know that people don't go and print their own tickets?
Right.
Where is the money paid to? Right. How much is a lot of money?
Yeah, right.
So very that right. In itself is a prescription for all you need to do is to have an annual levy, which you can pay instrumentally. And you have a sticker to identify a vehicle. You cannot be on the road if you don't have a sticker. Then you can say, okay, we have a system where by direct debit, you can pay monthly. Or you can even pay daily. You can use, what do you call these small banks now? I'm still on holiday.
Microfinance
banks. You know, if you want to go and do it as some kind of a job, you pay daily. But you have a sticker.
But my question though is, let's even forget that this is the transport sector. Is there any other sector where people pay this huge amount of money as tax?
It's a racket.
Even to the government, I mean.
It is a racket.
Why would anybody need to pay so much money? 800 naira per day times 30.
I stand to say here that this thing is sheer racketeering. How can you say people should buy ticket daily cash?
Does that work? Do people pay like that in the agri sector?
No.
Do they pay like that in the education sector?
No. But if you are not careful, very soon to walk the streets, you'll be paying a daily levy. It's a racket that is trying to be legitimized. That's the honest to God truth.
It's like I said,
the world is modern now. You can set up direct debits. People, you know, from their microfinance, whatever, you get a direct debit to the bank. And you give them a sticker. You are not on the road if you don't have that sticker.
Or a license, or
the
same way you pay for your vehicle
and inspection. MOT.
Yeah, you do that annually, and that's it. Your license fee, you'd pay that for a year.
In what civilized country do you see people collecting daily cash?
It's actually, even to the government. I mean, that's money is too much. It's too much.
Knowing Nigerians, I can imagine the number of fake tickets that you have. Out there.
Something they do for even BRT.
For BRT, yes.
Yeah. All right, let's see another story.
You have other countries you can borrow that from. You have the Oyster system. You can even use your debit card. So many things that you can do. So, okay, this mass of money. Let's even stretch it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This mass of money that is collected daily, where is it domiciled?
Should be to the Ministry of Transport.
And then they count the cash.
Well, I would assume. So I had reached out. In fact, I promised the people to. I reached out to MC Oluomo. His number wasn't connecting, but I got somebody else from the Parks and Garages. Mm. I think he's for Bariga. So I want to see if I can bring him on Monday. Because I want to know. Odumosu.
Yes. So MC Oluomo, is he the chairman?
Yes, he's the chairman of the Lagos State Parks and Garages.
What is Odumosu?
Is he not the transport?
No, Odumosu is the acting commissioner of police who retired.
Where is he now?
I don't know whether he's the MD. I don't know what he is.
Lagos State actually had a parks and manages parks and guardians and something agency before.
Yes.
So when they started this committee, I saw no reason for it. Because the government has an existing, you go to the Lagos State website, you find it there. There is actually under the Ministry of Transportation, an agency called Parks and Garages Kiniko.
Should I tell you, the parks and garages in the past, the monies were collected at the parks.
Right.
Do you understand? If you go to any of the parks, as the driver is about to go out, buy that ticket.
Yes.
That is different from daffos that are applying the roads. How do you do that?
No, I mean, even the ones that are being ticketed at the parks, why is it so? Is that how it should be?
Of course not.
Because why am I being... What business? If I'm into business, is there any business that pays a daily levy?
Well, Mima, do me a favor.
Why?
Bring the Commissioner for Finance here. Let him come and explain.
I don't think he's ever been here.
Yes, grab him.
Yes.
Let him explain. What happens?
How
to
much
this
money
one?
It has
and
been.
Who counts this daily cash? And don't forget, the kind of cash you are talking about are not new notes or anything.
Yeah,
is a sweat, all kinds of things are going on. And then, okay, these guys who actually do collect, are they employees of the government?
How much are they being paid?
Or are they agents?
And how much are they
paid? Are they on commission? I mean, let's move on to second phase.
This transport thing is just somehow. It's a racket. And like you said, I think the government needs to holistically actually look at this matter. Beyond saying, let's make it easier for you. But even the union thing, I know the unions have been scrapped. Which union is there? Is it the NBA? Is it the medical people that, as a medical practitioner, you pay a daily levy?
Everybody pays annually.
Or as a lawyer, you pay annually, and that's
you see,
it.
The sentiment that will be brought forward now. People in the transport business, things are not true. The truth of the matter is that transport in modern cities is so important and crucial.
Right.
It's not for poor people to organize. Because of the safety.
Because it's a security matter.
In which modern city would you see the kind of buses we have on Lagos roads?
No lights.
We just put our people's lives at risk, all in the name of poverty.
We still have a lot of conversation
I seem to be crashing down.
And I wanted you to take it
all
with
this,
you.
All this powder I rubbed on my face is coming.
Okay. We've got a few more minutes before we go.
Yeah.
Let's take this one from The Vanguard. Autumn says 2023 will be finest in terms of education, character, performance, and others.
This is where the music changes in the movie. You know, in the cowboy, this is where it goes da 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 dang. So what we are beginning to see, Autumn, remember, is in the
PDP
and is in the Wiki group, but he is now saying that in terms of education, that education is very crucial, but don't let's go there. In terms of character, is also very crucial, but don't let's go there. In terms of performance, well, that is open-ended. In terms of reaching out, and in terms of accommodation, in terms of being a pan-Nigerian, and in terms of passion to ensure that our country is liberated from where we are from insecurity and out of the economic woes to economic vibrancy, and so on and so forth. You have the capacity to make things work. He told Obi himself. But you see, the Obi himself needs to be careful. Politicians are the smartest guys ever. Once they see the direction which people are going, they are always quick to join the bandwagon. That's Obi's decision to make. If he wants to start taking in some of these PDP people that I don't want to use the word suspect, but who I've heard use it anyway, but have been slightly discredited because eventually they apologize. If he wants to bring them into his fold, it's up to him. It's up to him. But again, the reality is that politics is about numbers. So I think he needs to create a balance. But what this story indicates to me, and I'm surprised that he's on page 7 when it should have been on the front page, is that it is very, very likely that Wike, Ikpeazu, and Duguanyi of Enugu, I don't know about Makinde, who says that he must cast his vote for a Yoruba man if the story is true, and I found that very unfortunate. A statesman doesn't do things like that, but that's another story for another day.
We have to go. Jiminis is back at 9 on Daily Digest. Right after this break and the news, let's talk dyslexia. If you have a child that's finding it difficult to focus, it might be dyslexia. I've got guests from Dyslexia Nigeria joining me right after this. Don't go away.
Listen to this to understand the amazing power of 5G. Whoops! Sorry, I played that at 5G speed. Now, here it is at a speed you're used to.
With hyper-fast internet speed, low to zero lag and buffering, multiple connections, and quality data sharing, 5G will give us amazing things like remote surgeries, self-driving vehicles, instant file downloads, smart homes.
Get ready to experience the incredible. And remember, no be juju, now MTN 5G.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running late to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire them. Those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not sure.